Now join with me, if you will, and pray for the Lord's illumination as we read this text. Because without the Holy Spirit's empowering me to speak and empowering you to listen, nothing will happen here of eternal value. It'll just be a man expounding on his own opinions, and what a worthless pursuit that would be. And so please pray with me, if you will. God, I thank you for the freedom to read your word. I thank you for the freedom to preach your word. Holy Spirit, I pray that you would descend upon each heart now. Start with mine, Lord. May the speaker not expound his own opinions, but only your word, Lord. I pray that everyone who listens would be touched by you, Holy Spirit, that all of us in this room, all of us within earshot, everyone who listens after this, that we all might be changed, that we all might become more like you, Lord Jesus. Go with us now. Grant us your grace. Grant us your power. May we do your will, Lord Jesus. We pray it in your name. Amen. And please stand if you're able as we read from Romans 6. Hear the word of the Lord. What then? Are we to sin because we are not under law, but under grace? By no means. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? But thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed, and have been set free from sin, have become slaves of righteousness. I'm speaking in human terms because of your natural limitations. For just as you once presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. But what fruit were you getting at that time from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the end of those things is death. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the fruit you get leads to sanctification, and its end, eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord. Thus far the reading of God's holy word, and may he add his blessing to the reading of his word. Thanks be to God. Amen. You may be seated. So driving through this beautiful Bavarian countryside, beautiful as it was, I couldn't help shake this feeling of anxiety for what I was about to see. And when I got to the forbidding black wrought iron gates, that's when I saw those three words, clear as day, in German. Arbeit macht frei. Literally in German, work will set you free. So I walked into the gates of the Dachau concentration camp and into the low buildings where people during World War II were tortured and experimented on. Through the satanically efficient gallows, which hung right by the notorious crematorium ovens. To the prisoner barracks where disease raged and relief was only a fever dream. Finally, around the outer wall, where there was a massive pile of black ash, which still stands today. And in front of those ashes, a sign reads, "Here lie the ashes of untold thousands." Sin is much like the gates of a concentration camp. It invites us to come in and be free. Work will make you free. Lust will make you free. Money will make you free. Whatever you want to fill in the blank. But once caught inside, it imprisons, it tortures, and finally ends in death. But our passage today tells us that God has provided a way of true freedom. Praise God. And this weekend, we celebrate the independence and the freedom of our country. I'm sure many of you heard the fireworks last night. They're all over our neighborhood. And today, I wanted to look at what the Bible has to say about freedom in terms of slavery. So here's the big deal of the passage. We were once slave to sin, but when we are in Christ, we are truly free. We were once slaves to sin, but when we are in Christ, we are truly free. And I want to talk about this under four headings. So first, no freedom in sin, freed from sin's prison, freed to be enslaved to righteousness, and finally, freed to enjoy the master's gift. So first, there is no freedom in sin. If you look at verse 15, Paul immediately rules out licentious living. It's not okay to sin just because we know we're forgiven. What then? Are we to sin just because we are not under the law but under grace? By no means. No, 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 is what Paul is saying. By no means. It's really easy to skip over this if we're coming, especially if we're a churchgoer that comes every Sunday. I doubt that many people in this room and whoever listens to this sermon, I doubt that many people would just flippantly say, oh, yeah, sin all you want. Don't worry about it. You'll be forgiven. I don't think many people in this room would say that. But the question is, do we really have a healthy fear of sin? Do we have a healthy fear of dishonoring the God who loves us? And look, I confess myself, I'll be the first one to tell you that I too often treat sin casually, as if it were just some kind of fleck of dirt that I could wash off, little soap, little warm water, towel, hey, I'm good to go. I'm forgiven, I can sin some more. Can you identify with that? Do you treat sin casually? I'll confess it to you. Even though we do have eternal security in Christ, even though God does love us with an everlasting love, both of these are very true. Sin, even the sin that a Christian, that a follower of Christ commits, that is still eternal treason, which still requires the very blood of Christ, every sin. And I pray that may we be blessed with what the Puritans called the gift of tears. Have you ever heard that? The gift of tears. How can tears ever become a gift? Tears are a gift when we are so sorry for our sin, that we hate our sin, that we despise our sins so much that we actually truly weep over them. How often do I weep over my sin? Not nearly enough. May we weep over our sin. May we be sick of it. May it make us ill. Well, why should our sin make us sick? Why, Mike? Why should it do that? Look at verse 16. If we obey sin, we are placing ourselves into slavery. Do you not know that if you present yourselves to anyone as obedient slaves, you are slaves to the one you obey, either of sin, which leads to death, or of obedience, which leads to righteousness? If we obey sin, if we follow that, we are putting ourselves into the shackles of slavery. Well, think about it. Back in Paul's day, and even in the Old Testament, people would sell themselves into slavery. And they would do this for a certain period of time, maybe to pay off a debt. And the buyer goes and pays off that debt for the would-be slave. And the person then agrees to work for you for free for 7 years or however long. So in that business deal, indentured servanthood, you might call it, the slave gets hard currency, cold hard cash for his or her labor. What do we get when we sell ourselves into sin? We get nothing but misery and regret and death. May we have the gift of tears that keeps us from that. Paul says as much in verse 16, obedient slaves, And the force of this meaning is of one who obeys because he has listened to the master giving the order. And it's the same phrase when Jesus tells the demon, come out of him. The demons listened. They were obedient to Jesus. That's the force of meaning. It's the same phrase. They obeyed because they must obey. The text, the demons, they didn't have a choice. Jesus said, go. They were going. There's no doubt about that. We have a choice. To whom will we listen? Will we listen to Christ, who offers us life, or will we listen to sin, who offers us death? To whom will we say, I belong to you, I'm your servant? Will we choose obedience to sin? Will we choose obedience to God? We're going to be slaves either way. Do you want to be a slave to one who offers you death or one who offers you life? Question is, are you in Christ today? Are you in Christ today? And I don't ever want to assume that everyone in a group this size is walking with Christ. And I said before that once we were slaves to sin, but when we are in Christ, we are truly free. Free. And that implies if we're not in Christ, we're still slaves to sin. Do you have that assurance today that Jesus took the death penalty of your sin, your personal sin, so that you wouldn't have to take it? Do you have the assurance that you get the credit for all of the obedience that Jesus showed here on the earth? You get the credit. He gets the death. Do you have that assurance today? If you do, praise God. If you don't, do not let this day pass. Do not let the sun go down on this day before you get that straight. Please go see Pastor Mock. Go see someone on this session. Come see me. Come get that straight, because there may not be a tomorrow for you. There may not be a tomorrow for any of us. We're not guaranteed. What we are guaranteed is that Christ loved us and gave himself for us, and that he sacrificed himself so that death would not come to those that are in him. Slavery is gone. Freedom has come. Whether you've been walking with Jesus as your Savior for 5 days or 50 years, this should thrill us. We are free in Christ. We are free in Christ. It's beautiful. This is Paul's first argument. There is no freedom in sin. Second, we're freed from sin's prison. Verse 17 starts out, thanks be to God. Thanks be to God that you who were once slaves of sin have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. So, Paul, why should we thank God? Why are you coming out with this great thanksgiving? The thanks should be to God. It is to God because of his work in the lives of believers. We were once all slaves to sin, even if we were too young to remember it. And some here in this room, You may never remember a day that you didn't believe in Jesus, and praise God for that. You were raised in the church. You were taught from an early age. Kids out there, that may be you. If you're young, there may have never been a day that you don't know the name Jesus, and that's awesome. But the fact is, at some point, you were a slave to sin. And David, he said that he was conceived in iniquity. Am I better than the man after God's own heart? Not me. So we thank God. We thank God because of his work in our hearts to make us, to free us. Now, what does this mean? Obedient from the heart. You were once slaves of sin. You have become obedient from the heart to the standard of teaching to which you were committed. True obedience from a willing heart is glorifying to God. Slavish obedience is not so glorifying to God. Anybody here do chores? Yeah. I do chores. Anybody work on Excel spreadsheets, PowerPoints, email, whatever chore it is that you have? Sweeping the porch was mine. Growing up, my parents are here, so I can say this. Sweeping the porch, take out the trash. Okay, I'll take out the trash. And it's horrible. It's doing this chore. That is slavish obedience. He said, you're not slavishly obedient now. You are obeying from the heart. That's what God wants. Not this slavish obedience. We're free to obey Christ. This is true freedom. And many, many Christians today will say, it's not about rules, it's relationship. You ever heard that? Well, here's the thing. Paul says it's both. There's a standard to which you were committed. There is a standard, and somebody committed you to it, and God has committed you to it. Hopefully you've committed yourself to it. It is rules. It is relationship. It's both. How do I know what God wants without his rules? Accept his rules. Love his rules. Love his law. That's why you look at the Psalms, and they love his law. It's a beautiful thing. We show love for Jesus when we obey this standard of teaching that he's talking about in verse 17. Now, earlier I had said that we are set free from sin's prison. And there it is right there in verse 18. Having been set free from sin. And this is where the child of God can take a deep breath and have real peace. Do you know, brothers and sisters, what people will do just for a day of real peace? Do you know what would the world give just for one day of inner peace, much less outer peace between fighting factions and politics and all this? Forget that. Just inner peace. What would people do? This is what he's talking about. Well, maybe I'll pause for a second. Maybe you today are in that downward spiral, of looking for some sort of rest from your restlessness, some sort of peace from your anxiety, some sort of lift from your depression. Maybe you're there. And if you are there, God says, I see you. I hear you. You are mine. I set you free. There is no quick cure for this. There is no magic potion or silver bullet for this, but he sees you. He knows you. Matthew 11, 28 through 30. Come to me, all who are weary, who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Find your rest in Christ alone. It's a daily, daily thing that we come to him and say, God, you are my rest. You are my peace. And this is the beautiful irony of being a servant of Jesus. In serving him and being a slave to him, we have rest. We have peace. Someone liberated us from the cruel master of sin, and that was Christ himself. The doors were open, the chains were broken, the handcuffs and leg shackles on the floor, iron bars were cut. We are free. So become slaves of righteousness. And this is the irony of true freedom. True freedom, as God defines it, is not like how the world defines it. True freedom is a total willing submission to be a slave of righteousness. You want to be free? Be a slave. That's why the title of the sermon is, come, be a slave. In Christ, we are freed from the prison of sin. We were once slave to sin, but when we are in Christ, what are we? Truly free. So now that we are freed from sin's prison, a third point, we are free to be enslaved to righteousness. For once, just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, yikes, Isn't that crazy? Before Christ, we were free. We were slaves to sin. And we were happy to make progress in sin. That's what he's talking about. Going from lawlessness to more lawlessness. And this is what the word present is referring to. Giving completely over to lawlessness. But now he's saying, give your members over to righteousness. We are to give ourselves completely to God. We cannot hold anything back. Now, this what he's talking about, members. For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, leading to more lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, leading to sanctification. Anybody ever used a wheelbarrow? Yeah, I know some of you guys with gray hair out there, maybe ladies too, y'all have used wheelbarrows. Young people, y'all ever used a wheelbarrow? Think about this. The members, what's he talking about, members? It's not like members as in people. It's talking about body parts. So you imagine a wheelbarrow. You got arms in there. You got legs in there. You got head. You got private parts. You got feet. You got all this stuff. All of your members, all of your physical members in that wheelbarrow, you're giving them to God. Every bit of you. So honor your God with your body. Why? Because you were bought with a price. Your body is not your own. That's a big deal. Your body is not your own. But your members, all of your body, every bit of it belongs to Christ. Everything is offered completely to God. That's what it means to have this presented to God without reservation. Present Him your body. Because now, instead of making progress in sin, we're free to make progress in righteousness. That is sanctification, being made more holy, being made more like Christ. Before Christ, we were walking this way, making progress in sin. And God got a hold of us, giving us repentance unto life. And repentance means about face, making progress toward Christ. That's what it means. You repent, you turn the other way, you now make progress in faith, in sanctification, being made holy. What do I do if I'm stuck in sin and I can't get out? What do I do if I believe in Christ? I've walked with Him for a while, but I'm stuck in pride. I'm stuck in alcohol, stuck in pornography. I'm stuck in work. I'm stuck in love of money. Whatever it is that you're stuck, what if you're stuck? What do you do? James 5:16. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Satan loves for us to be in solitary confinement. Did you know that? He loves for us to be alone. He loves nothing more than to stand at the door of our jail cell and say, how dare you call yourself a Christian? You remember when? You remember when? It's time for the devil to stop saying remember when and to be shut up. This is Freedom Day. This is Independence Day. Independence from Satan, independence from sin, and independence from that which holds you captive. It's up to us to realize, because it's written right here, the jail warden is a defeated enemy. The door of your prison cell is ripped off of its hinges, and all the devil can do is stand in front of the door, the open doorway, and accuse you. All he has is his words. Will you let him fool you into thinking that you're still chained? Child of God, you are free. Go free. Don't spend another minute mulling over that evil thing that you did last week, last year, 20 years ago. Be free of the liar. Embrace the rescuer who reaches out a scarred hand for you and says, you are free. You're my child. Realize that the rescuer loves you even through your shame and your guilty feelings. Be free. We are freed to be enslaved in righteousness. And when we are in Christ, we are what? Truly free. And finally, we are freed to enjoy the Master's gift. Look in verse 20. When we were free in regard to righteousness, when we are slaves of sin, you're free in regard to righteousness. What in the world does that mean? Paul means that we were free to sin all that we wanted. Yeah, that old song, AC/DC, Highway to Hell. I'm on the highway to hell. All my friends are going to be there too. It's not as good as he thinks it's going to be. It really isn't. That's the condition of the world. Sinning and loving it. The world just wants to be happy. I've had people tell me, you know, I may come and I may get to the end of my life and see the big man upstairs and I may have to answer to him, but right now I just want to be happy. It's absolutely chilling that they don't care. They just want to be happy. And that was our former state. And he talks about the fruit of shame that came from that. It's this tree of, in verse 21, the image of bearing a tree bearing bitter fruit from its past, from our past actions. And the end state is death and condemnation. But then we have the fruit of freedom in contrast in verse 22. It's released from the chains that we used to love, which produced death. But now you have been set free from sin and become slaves to God. The fruit that you get leads to sanctification and in its end, eternal life. Remember the big idea of this whole passage? We were once slaves to sin, but when we are in Christ, we're truly free. And the fruit of that is this freedom. The slavery to God means a true and complete freedom. We're free to do and to be what God designed us to do and be. He created us to do and be. The image is not of chains, but of oneness with Christ. It's this in Paul over and over and over again. What does he say? En Christo. In Christ. In Christ. Are you in Christ today? And now the beautiful Romans 6:23. This goes from imagery from an agrarian image to a financial image, from fruit into wages. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Fruit is a natural growth from a plant with a certain nature, right? Lemon trees grow what? Lemons. Yeah, it doesn't take a rocket science. It's the same with the works of death. If you do the work of sin, you earn the work of death. You do work, you get wages. Okay? The world says that you should do what makes you happy, but you go back to the black gate of Dachau. Work makes you free. Does work make you free? No. Work leads to death. The wages of sin is death. When we choose to do the work of disobedience to God, we are walking right through those black gates to our own death. But we're not like the victims of the concentration camp who were forced to go there. When we walk through there, we do it freely, by our own will. We're the ones who volunteer to put the hangman's noose around our necks. As another preacher is fond of saying, sin is always an inside job. Sin will make you and me into a slave and a corpse. And this is a dark place. But that's when we see that the people who have walked in darkness have seen a great light. Have you seen that great light? There's a light, and his name is Christ. The gift is right here, that we are in Christ. We are set free from that darkness. The free gift of God is eternal life. We are set free from darkness into the light of Christ. And that the gift is that we have an eternity ahead of us, full of pleasures, full of privileges, full of glory that we can't possibly wrap our minds around right now. What a gift! What freedom! We are free to enjoy the Master's gift. And in Christ, the Master, We are truly free. The world, the flesh, and the devil whisper in our ear,
Arbeit macht frei.
Work will make you free. Don't believe the lie. Do not believe the lie. Will work or any other substitute make you free? This is a cynical lie that has never set anyone free. We were once slaves to sin, and now we're servants. But when we are servants of Christ, we are truly free. True freedom is always found in one person and in Him alone. And we looked at this under four categories. No freedom in sin. We are freed from sin's prison. We are freed to be enslaved to righteousness and freed to enjoy the Master's gift. May we today enjoy that true freedom that Christ gives us, His children. And one of those freedoms that He gives us is freedom to feast on Him. This in front of us is a means of grace from the darkness that would take over our own hearts. It's an invitation to the hungry. Anybody hungry out there? Anybody sinful? Anybody restless? Anybody messed up this week? Anybody really, really sinful this week? Guess what? This is for you. Don't let this pass by if you're a sinner. Because this is a hospital for the sick. This is not a museum for the holy. If you're holy here, you better exit now. I will mess you up. I know I will. This is for you. But if you are in Christ, if you have been baptized, this is for you. If you are not in Christ, if you don't believe in Him as